Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Extra biblical rules of conduct. That's the first mark of a false teacher listed by Paul in Colossians 2:18. He gives four marks altogether, and these apply, well, first and foremost, to the false teachers in the city of Colossae, where Paul was writing this epistle to the church in the city of Colossae. And so they may or may not apply to the false teachers that we run into in our lives today, but I'm confident that there are false teachers in our day who bear one or more of these marks, maybe some who have all four of them, and others that have some of these and some of other ones that are not in this particular list. But when I say extra-biblical rules of conduct, what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about requirements of conduct that are not in the Bible, that are not required by God, but they are required by men, they are required by religious leaders, they are required by certain groups of Christians, and the requirement can come in several different ways, but often what it boils down to is this: if you're going to be accepted into our group, you've got to do this and not do that. And we will give you our reasons for that, and they're not reasons that come immediately out of the Bible. We can't open the Bible and give you chapter and verse, but we can give you our logic, our rationale, our thinking, why we've drawn this conclusion, and we have decided to make that a requirement for your conduct. So if you're going to be a member in good standing in this group, you're going to have to adopt these things, and if you are not willing to do so, then you'll never really be considered one of us. You'll never be considered a member in good standing. You can hang around if you want to. You can attend if you want to. You can be partly involved if you want to, but you'll never really be fully accepted unless you adopt these things. That's the way it works. And they are extra-biblical rules of conduct. And that's just the first of the four marks, and we'll look at some of the others on this Thursday, July 28, as we gather together around the Word of God. And we can do that because some of you, our radio listeners, help us with the costs involved, and we deeply appreciate it. Here's what we read in Colossians 2:18. Let no one cheat you, C-H-E-A-T, cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. Extra rules of biblical conduct. Things that are not found in Scripture, but we have added them. Now, I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong in saying that I conclude that I am going to dress a certain way because I think that that enables me to fulfill what the Scripture requires. No, the Scripture doesn't stipulate in detail the way that I should dress. But I do know that the Bible commends modesty and forbids immodesty. I do know that the Bible has some things to say about the way we dress, and I want to please the Lord, and I conclude that this is the way I should dress. Fine. That's good. That's commendable. I think you should do that. I think everyone should give some thought to this, a great deal of thought to it. But what you can't do is say, all right, what I've decided for myself applies to you. Here's what the Bible says about modesty, and here's how you're going to have to dress in order to be modest. Well, now, wait a minute. I really don't want to get into the issue of dress. That's not the point here, because there's so many extra-biblical things. But all you have to do is to listen to different Christians in different groups, and you very quickly come to the conclusion there are as many different opinions about what constitutes modesty and immodesty as there are dandelions in the average American front lawn, and maybe more than some lawns. You don't have to interact very often with very, very much with different groups before you find that to be exactly so. Well, if these things are biblical, then how come so many serious-minded, biblical Christians all have different ideas about what modesty looks like, what modesty means? And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have any standards of modesty. I think we should. I've got certain standards in my mind, and I am sometimes aggrieved when I see the way Christians dress that seem to give no consideration at all as to what message they're sending and how they're representing themselves as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and as children of the Most High King. But I have to be careful. Just because I've decided that modesty means A, B, and C, doesn't mean that that's necessarily biblical, not biblically required. These things are so culturally derived. And that is a big subject, and I really didn't want to get into it now, but I just need to point this out. Standards of modesty are culturally derived, and they're constantly changing. Sometimes they change only slowly over a long period of time, but they always change. And sometimes they change rather quickly. For example, what would be considered to be a modest swimsuit today would have been considered scandalously immodest in America 100 years ago or so. So is there an absolute standard of modesty? Or are there changing standards of modesty? Now, for those who go to the beach, and some Christians won't do that, but for Christians who go to the beach, we can at a glance say that woman is trying to dress herself modestly and that woman is trying to flaunt herself. We know. But I say it again, attire that would be considered modest today, because in comparison with other fashions that are so obviously immodest, but a swimsuit that would be considered completely modest today would have been scandalously immodest 100 years ago. So where is the absolute standard? Where is the abiding standard? Where is the biblical rule in that regard? There isn't one. There isn't one. It really becomes a matter of individual decision on such things. Now, I want to teach our people to dress modestly. I want to teach my daughters to dress modestly. They're all grown and gone and married now, so it's not my responsibility. It's their husband's responsibility. It's their own responsibility before the Lord, and their husband's responsibility to tell them if they feel like if he feels like they are stepping over the bounds of modesty. He should be concerned about that. And all of my sons-in-law are Christian men, and I think are concerned about that. And I want my children, my daughters, to teach their children, my grandchildren, the principles of modesty. But when you get down to the specifics and start making absolute rules, you really get yourself in a difficult position biblically. You say, well, how do you deal with communities, for example, in a Christian school, if you don't spell these things out? I really don't have any objection to Christian schools having clearly defined standards of dress, as long as, number one, they are not overly severe. I don't think that achieves the point. When the Bible tells us that we are a peculiar people, it doesn't mean that we should appear strange, weird, and bizarre to the world. And you say, well, the world doesn't set our standards. I know, the world doesn't. But, again, it's a cultural matter. And you can be modest without being strange. But some groups, some Christian groups, are clinging to certain styles that go back, who knows how many decades or hundreds of years, as if somehow the standard of modesty 100 years ago was the biblical one, and we're going to hold on to it. Or the standard of modesty 200 years ago was the right one, and we're going to hold on to it. But styles and culture changes. I remember growing up in the era of the hippie generation. I was a teenager in the 60s. And that's when the hippies came along and the long hair. And most, Bible-believing Christians at that day made rules that men could not wear hair like that. And they have pretty good basis for it, because the Bible has something to say about that, doesn't it, in 1 Corinthians. The nature itself teaches us that it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and it's a shame for a woman to have short hair. But, again, the question is, we know what the principle is, but the question is, who decides how long is too long and how short is too short? I mean, really. It seems to me like the biblical principle is that men should look like men and women should look like women. In other words, men's hair in general should always be shorter than women's hair in general. That would be, I would think, would be in keeping with the biblical principle. If men are to have short hair and women are to have long hair, the principle is that women's hair should generally be longer than a man's, and a man's hair should be shorter than a woman's. But how that works itself out in detail is going to vary from age to age, from century to century, from culture to culture. You know, you could have these rules about exactly how men should have their hair cut, but you'd have a hard time teaching your young people much about the Puritans and showing any photos or portraits of them. Of course, nobody had any photos back in that day, but we can have photos of their portraits that were painted in that day. And some of them had hair that was pretty long, would be long on a woman today. But, of course, they lived in an era when probably most women seldom cut their hair at all. I mean, it's all relative, isn't it? Now, the principle isn't relative. The principle is unchanging, but the application is relative to so many things. And that's why we get into trouble when we start spelling out in absolute detail things that the Bible doesn't give us details about. We've got to learn to be careful about these things so that we don't adopt the marks of a false teacher. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.